This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Looking to start a side hustle or become your own boss? Do it with Shopify. Whether you're selling succulents or stilettos, Shopify has the industry-leading tools to help you create, control, and grow your own business. So get serious about selling and get Shopify today. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.co.uk/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.co.uk/special offer.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Tuesday, June 4th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Spreadsheets, like those created with Microsoft Excel or Google Sheets, remain a go-to application in today's workplace. But some chief information officers say, depending on how they're used, spreadsheets can hamstring efforts to incorporate artificial intelligence into operations. We'll explain why. And then, Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has an opaque investment empire that's making him rich. WSJ reporter Berber Jind is going to join us to talk about that and why it's raising questions about potential conflicts. But first, spreadsheets shot up in popularity with the debut of Microsoft Excel in the 1980s. And despite attempts from upstarts, Excel and its ilk remain dominant. But the number of spreadsheets created, shared, tweaked, and retweaked can result in multiple conflicting versions of the same data, according to one chief information officer. And lacking consistent, verified data can make companies uncertain about what information they should analyze and feed into their AI models. Here to talk more about that is CIO Journal reporter Isabel Bousquet. Isabel, how do the CIOs you spoke with feel about the number of spreadsheets in their organizations?
There's a sense of being overwhelmed. I mean, organizations have been overwhelmed by their data for years because organizations in the digital age have so much data coming in and they use so many different vendors to store and analyze it. And in this age where AI is suddenly so capable and so popular, they're under even more pressure to keep that data organized so that they can actually use AI. But what a lot of people aren't talking about is the fact that data management is probably like the biggest bottleneck in terms of organizations actually being able to really take advantage of the benefits of AI.
Tell us more about that. What do all these spreadsheets and different data sets mean for organizations' ability to adapt to generative AI tools?
Something you'll hear a lot in the enterprise tech industry is this idea of garbage in, garbage out. And it basically means that if you don't have a good handle on your data, if you don't know what data is accurate and up to date and verified, then you're not going to get a good output from your AI model because data is what's being used to train and teach that AI model what to look for. So if your data's bad, you're really not going to reap the benefits of using AI.
What are Microsoft and Google, the makers of big spreadsheet software, doing to address this problem?
They're both definitely aware that there are some challenges around ensuring that data is verified and up to date, and they've both introduced features that make it easier to track the provenance of data, especially over time in spreadsheets. But for CIOs, the idea is that spreadsheets are a basic tool. They're not mature databases that can handle large amounts of information. And so although, you know, Excel and Google Sheets are definitely getting better and they're even getting some AI features embedded in them themselves, they're never really going to do the job that a mature database can do. So for some CIOs, it's just an exercise in change management, just trying to convince workers not to use spreadsheets as much as they like to.
That was CIO Journal reporter Isabel Bousquet. Coming up, OpenAI's CEO Sam Altman has a side gig that's making him rich. It's also raising questions about potential conflicts of interest. We'll have more on that after the break.
AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure, or OCI. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less, like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/Wall Street. oracle.com/Wall Street.
Sam Altman, the CEO of OpenAI, has a side gig. He's one of Silicon Valley's most prolific and aggressive individual investors. The holdings he controls were worth at least $2.8 billion as of early this year. That's according to company filings and Wall Street Journal reporting. Much of the portfolio isn't widely known. By Altman's own estimate, he and his venture funds have invested in more than 400 companies. A growing number of Altman's startups do business with OpenAI itself. That puts Altman on both sides of deals, creating a mounting list of potential conflicts. With us to talk about this is our reporter, Berber Jin. And before we get into this, a note that News Corp, owner of the Wall Street Journal, has a content licensing partnership with OpenAI. Thanks for joining us, Berber.
Always glad to be here.
So, Berber, Sam Altman began investing while running his first startup, Looped, back in the 2000s. He continued investing for years, and then in 2014, Altman became president of Y Combinator, which is itself an influential venture firm. Were there any conflicts of interest issues raised?
At Y Combinator, Sam Altman did something very unconventional, which is to simultaneous to running a venture firm with investors that he had a fiduciary duty to, he was also running his own venture firm called Hydrazine that had also raised money from outside investors. And so it was this very unusual arrangement, even in Silicon Valley, where he basically had two jobs. He was running a full-time venture firm and overseeing staff, and he was also running a personal venture firm that often invested in companies that Y Combinator had already backed. Now, this was a bit of a controversial decision because our reporting shows that Altman had banned other partners at Y Combinator from having a similar arrangement. And what happened is that he would often pick founders he liked the most from Y Combinator and personally back them.
He eventually left Y Combinator. What changed with his investing style after that?
After Altman left Y Combinator, he began to invest more of his own money into startups and writing bigger and bigger checks as opposed to relying on Hydrazine. As Altman became more successful as an investor, his net worth increased, and he used that increase in wealth to negotiate this very unconventional debt line with JP Morgan, where he essentially had something of a personal credit card that he could use to invest into startups. And he used this deadline, which was collateralized by his existing startup shares, to write checks in the hundreds of millions of dollars, which are bigger checks than most VC firms are ever able to write. So he was essentially taking out loans to back very high-risk, unproven startups.
So he's using his investment stakes to borrow money to invest in other startups. I want to talk about one example of his investing, Altman's stake in Reddit. OpenAI recently announced a partnership with Reddit in which it would pay to bring the messaging site's content to ChatGPT and other AI products. What did this deal mean for Altman?
The OpenAI Reddit deal is fascinating because Altman is the third largest outside shareholder in Reddit. He's invested in the company through various funds and holding companies since 2014. He was actually its CEO for 8 days in 2014. He served on the board for 7 years until 2022. So that deal with Reddit basically enriched him by millions and millions of dollars within hours of the announcement. So after OpenAI and Reddit announced the partnership, Reddit's stock went up by around 10%. And the stake that Altman held through his various funds and holding companies increased by $69 million. And that's just an example of a deal where, you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with conflicts as long as they're managed properly. But the fact that he's making so much money from the business on the other side of the table, but not his own, is extremely unusual. And it raises questions about how that deal was structured. If you are an OpenAI staff member and you know that the deal you're negotiating could stand to personally enrich your CEO, how does that influence how you approach the deal? We know that Altman did not play a leading role in those partnership talks, but the incentive structures at play are just extremely odd, and it definitely raises these pesky questions of potential conflicts of interest.
Right, and some of Altman's recent investments have focused on companies that aim to capitalize on this AI boom, which is being driven by OpenAI. Can you tell us a little bit more about those?
So one example is a company called Apex Security, which is a cybersecurity company that's aiming to sell software to protect AI products like ChatGPT. And another example is Exawatt, which is basically trying to create a cleaner energy solution to all the data centers that are being built and run because of the AI boom. And it's an interesting dynamic in that a lot of public tech company CEOs aren't allowed to invest in startups on the side. They're certainly not allowed to invest in companies that are in the industries that they run because it just raises questions of potential conflicts. Now, we don't really know if Altman's going to do business with these companies he's backed, but those companies he's backed definitely want to do business with OpenAI. And there could be a world in which OpenAI wants to acquire these companies or wants to ink a major business partnership with these companies. And when that happens, the conflicts of interest there where Altman is on both sides of the table could just be very awkward.
Altman was ousted from OpenAI in November and then reinstated later that month. Among the concerns that had piled up were his mounting list of side projects and potential conflicts of interest. What has Altman or OpenAI said about this?
Through a spokesman, Altman declined to comment on his conflicts of interests from his startup investments. OpenAI's new chairman, Brett Taylor, told us in a statement that all of Altman's conflicts are fully disclosed and that there is a proper process in place to manage those conflicts. So one new thing that the new board established at OpenAI was an audit committee that's tasked with basically reviewing all the potential conflicts that directors have and making sure it's not influencing the business at OpenAI.
That was our reporter, Berber Jin. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang with supervising producers Melanie Roy and Catherine Millsop. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.